Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. From fast food workers making minimum wage to bankers on Wall Street making six, seven-figure bonuses, a lot is actually changing in the final weeks of 2013 in what people are getting paid. Well, joining me to talk about this, regular contributor Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine and Diane Brady with Bloomberg Businessweek. The minimum wage is actually going up in 13 states, including New York and New Jersey. And it's an issue that's so wrapped up right now in this larger discussion we're having about income inequality. So how much should public policy be used to try and fix what people get paid?
Well, I think that when you're in periods of large structural change in the economy, like I think we're in now, it should be used to address it. It's interesting that the last time you heard a lot about things like an increase in the minimum wage were many decades ago. Henry Ford, for example, used to pay his workers more because that they would be able to then buy his products and boost consumption. We're starting to hear a debate about that again. Trickle-down economics is largely broken. Inequality is rising. There's a sense that we can't really have a robust recovery in an economy that's made up 70% of consumer spending if people don't have more money in their pockets to spend.
I think that one of the big issues around policy, of course, is taxation, and that's where I think we've seen the pay gap really widen. Unless you are taxing people who take home more money, you're not going to really close that gap.
You know, it's interesting that we've seen these protests organize around the country on the subject of minimum wage. We now have Congress considering whether or not to raise the federal minimum wage. The president's talked about it. Do you think that this is going to be something we'll see real movement on in 2014? Or is it just something politicians will use as an issue during an election year?
Well, I think that the fact that there's been gridlock in Congress about issues like tax reform, what Diane's talking about, has made it really difficult to move forward on this. But one thing that's interesting, Janet Yellen, who is very likely to be the next chairman of the Federal Reserve, actually spent much of her early academic career looking at the issue of employment and unemployment and did some very seminal work on how lower wages can actually increase unemployment by devaluing work and making lowering consumption. So I think that there are a lot of people in positions of power now that are starting to think very differently. And as I say, I think we're moving from a kind of a trickle-down economic theory to maybe a trickle-up economic theory and looking at the power of what those on the bottom can contribute to the economy.
But if Janet Yellen is at the Federal Reserve, she doesn't necessarily have oversight of a company's profits per se. Diane, is there a change perhaps happening that companies say, maybe I don't want as many profits because I want to pay my workers better?
Well, you do see these moments of, you know, I don't know if it's sort of noblesse oblige, but a certain degree where they will give money back to workers. They'll have stock options. I do think that there's a lot of public pressure on companies like Walmart, McDonald's, where we've seen the wages, that they have to do the right thing and pay people more, especially when you look at how low the pay is and how little it's increased in the last decade, two decades.
So a lot of it's public pressure. You think that'll do it?
I think it's public pressure. I think it's also looking to what works. You know, there's a very vigorous debate in governance circles about the German model, for example. In Germany, companies actually have labor sitting on the board. This works both ways. Sometimes labor puts more pressure on the companies. They get higher pay. But it also works that in downturns, you have labor representatives who are perhaps more willing than our unions might be to take cuts because they do have the representation.
Well, let's go to the exact opposite extreme. Let's talk about Wall Street and the pay that people make there. And there's actually some indications that, at least for the large banks, bonuses may be a little bit smaller than they were last year. So why is this happening? Is this a long-term trend or is this something particular about this year?
I think for several years now you've been seeing banks trying to offload risk, both as a reaction to deleveraging after the financial crisis and getting their balance sheets in better order, but also now looking forward to a period of perhaps greater regulation. You saw just this last few days with the passing of the Volcker Rule that already there are a couple of stories in the news about banks dumping off riskier assets. That means that trading profits go down, and trading is where banks make money, and so that means bonuses are going to come in less.
I think that is definitely one factor. The other is the financial services sector is a lot smaller now than it was in 2008, and it's a talent pool issue as well. You don't have to pay people as much. There are a lot of people out of work in Wall Street, and so you can get the best people for less, and you don't have to worry about holding on to
them
as much.
Are you basically saying
many of them have gone to hedge funds, too.
Yes.
So they're not necessarily Goldman Sachs anymore.
But are you basically implying that these CEOs of these companies, if they could, they'd like to pay their Wall Street employees maybe a little bit less than they,
sure,
than they make?
Of course. I think that's part of what the problem is. And, you know,
Want to hear that.
And I, you know, it is this myth of genius that you've seen where you start to realize that people do add value. There are superstars, but we also realize that there's less room for that now.
You know, I remember prior to the financial crisis speaking to a very well-known hedge funder who was getting worried about the state of the markets. And I asked him what his indicator was for that. And he said, there are too many people at Morgan Stanley who aren't very smart making $500,000 a year.
Well, what about for those people, Diane, who are in the middle, maybe not making $500,000?
Yes.
How is pay changing for them in the year ahead?
You know, it's starting to trend up a bit, which again sort of is, you can correlate it with what happens to the unemployment rate. So as the economy picks up, people want to hire, they want to hire the best. But the reality is there hasn't been as much movement as you'd expect. People do talk about, in fact, I believe Rana did, about a wageless recovery. And I think that, you know, that is in fact a reality. And the other thing to think about is with Obamacare, people are feeling the pinch where they're now, companies are less inclined to be covering your health care. They're not covering your spousal health care. So when you look at things like education costs, health care, the actual, you know, amount of money people have to pay out is a lot higher. And when they're not feeling wealthy, that's a problem. So I think you'll start to see some pressure there.
Well, in the very near term future, Rana, what are some of the stories that you're paying attention to?
Well, I've been fascinated, of course, this week with the Fed's announcement that it was going to start tapering back on its asset buying. And, you know, one of the next big appointments after Janet Yellen will be the number two position. And that's looking like it might be Stanley Fischer, who is a former managing director of the IMF and also former governor of the Bank of Israel. He's very interested. Interesting, because he comes from a kind of a existentially different camp than Yellen. He has been skeptical about the asset buying program. He would bring a contrasting view to hers. And I actually think that it would make a very strong team at the Fed.
Diane, what are you paying attention to?
You know, I'm going to be much more pedestrian. I'm not sure if you have those wearable devices, but I'm fascinated by the intersection of technology and health. I think it's actually a very interesting trend that's going to just blow up next year and actually become very much a part of our lives. There's so much happening, and I think it'll be a big story next year.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at wnyc.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast for free, available on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Diane Brady with Bloomberg Businessweek. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.